Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Good morning, church. Hey, we're in the last sermon in this Psalm 103 series, and I really have been blessed. And it's interesting when you kind of forecast them, you don't know all the details. I don't have the sermons planned. We don't know exactly what we're going to say, but we do know where we're headed. So it's always kind of a joyful revelation as the weeks come, as we get closer and begin to unpack it. We're going to look at these last three or four verses from the Psalm 103. And I know some of you have been working on memorizing the whole Psalm, and I give you credit for that. Good job. It's only 22 verses, right? I mean, you can swing that. But let's work on these last few. So we hear the word of God from Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless you according to your great, awesome presence, all that you do, all that you are. And we celebrate, Lord, that your throne is in the heavens and your sovereignty rules over all. Rule over us today, we pray. Be Lord of this service in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The memory verse is verse 19. And really, it's the sermon, too. I could have just read this verse. The whole sermon is right here. So would you join me in reciting this? The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Psalm 103:19. Well, as Psalm 103 begins and ends the same way, there's kind of like bookmarks or parentheses. It starts off with two, bless the Lord, O my souls, and it ends with one, but then it actually ends with four. So verses 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2, and forget none of his benefits. Then if you skip down to verse 20, he then says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength. And then it goes on to say, the next verse, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, who do his will. And then bless the Lord, all his works, and every place of his dominion. And then finally, bless the Lord, O my soul. So it's kind of a beautiful picture of blessing, of praising the Lord, of giving him honor and glory. Some of you have heard of Handel's Messiah. It's a kind of, I would call it like a cantata, but it's bigger than that. At the end of part two of Handel's Messiah, there is this part called the Hallelujah Chorus. And, you know, as I think about it, it goes exactly with this passage. Now, if you picked up the sermon notes, I've put the entire Hallelujah Chorus in there. It's like four lines long, but it takes about 3 minutes. So I'm going to give it to you, let you watch it. You can sing along if you know it, or the words are going to be on the screen. And I want you just to worship the Lord with this Hallelujah Chorus. As much volume as we can get.
Hallelujah!
that should wake you up. I mean, if you just grab the truth that is presented there, there's not many lines. They're all from Scripture, Revelation 19, Revelation 11. But it says, he shall reign forever and ever. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Alleluia, I think Josh mentioned it last week in worship, that it's Hebrew. Hallelujah means to praise or worship. And the Yah is the abbreviation for the name of Yahweh or Jehovah. So praise to God, praise to him. And so the first point I want to make out of this verse 19 is that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Jesus, God, is King of the universe. It's weak, folks. He is King of the universe. That is him. You know, it's amazing how much the Lord's Prayer is actually patterned after Jewish prayers. Now, the little twist is that Jesus introduces God as our Father, a very intimate kind of a, you know, position. But every Jewish prayer, almost everyone, whether it be the morning prayers, noonday prayers, supper prayers, prayers in the Seder meal, all begin the same way. It's Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Now, every prayer starts that way. And in English, that is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. There's a little parallel with the Lord's Prayer. But that's exactly what we just heard sung in the Alleluia chorus. He is the King of the universe. It says in this verse, his sovereignty rules over all. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's the New American Standard translation I was using. His sovereignty rules over all. The NIV and other translations say his kingdom rules over all. I like the Good News Bible. Other ones say he rules, but the Good News translation says the Lord placed his throne in heaven. He is king over all. I mean, you're getting the point, right? I mean, he established his throne in the heavens, and he is king of the universe. He is king over all. The word sovereignty there really comes from the Hebrew word for king, Malek, and it is translated royalty, royal power, reign, he reigns, or kingdom, his kingdom. So the kingdom of God, the reign of God. You know, we often get confused about what the kingdom of God is. Somehow, sometimes we get to think the kingdom of God is when Jesus comes back and he sets heaven on earth and establishes his kingdom. Well, that's true. That's the ultimate culmination of his kingdom. But that isn't the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would be better translated the reign of God. His sovereignty reigns. Anywhere Jesus is Lord is the kingdom of God. It's interesting. I've got a bunch of verses in your notes if you brought the notes with you. There's about six passages there. I do want to touch base with those. Matthew chapter 3 was when John the Baptist began to preach. His message, John the Baptist's message was, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why he was preaching. Then remember, Jesus came to him and got baptized, and then he went into the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and he went into the wilderness and was tested for 40 days and tempted, and then he came back in the power of the Spirit and began to preach. What do you think he said? Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven is going to come in 2,000 years when I come back. He said the kingdom of heaven is here, is at hand. In Mark's gospel, it's even better. The very first words recorded in Mark's gospel. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll see the first red letters in Mark's gospel is where Jesus says, Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. These are Jesus' words, his first words. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here. In Mark 9, verse 1, he told his disciples, some of you are alive today who will not die before you see the kingdom of God come with power. Oh, wait a minute. His disciples were all martyred. They all died within the next 30 years or so. They got to see the kingdom of God come in power. Some people believe he was talking about the resurrection. Others believe he's talking about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. I think it's both. But here in Matthew or Mark 9:9, when Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, he told them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until I rise again from the dead." He was talking about the resurrection. We'll see the kingdom of God with power. And of course, Luke 17, the Pharisees were asking Jesus, "When is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Where do we see it? When's it going to be the sign?" Jesus said, "Don't be looking here or there for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Some translations say the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is saying, "I'm here, the kingdom is here. If you have me, you have the kingdom. I am the kingdom. I am the king." And of course, the thief on the cross, remember him? What did the thief say to Jesus? He says, "Remember me when?" Come on. I'm just going to wait. You guys know this. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say? "Today. Today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, you don't have to wait for some kingdom down the road. The kingdom of God is here now. I am here now. We might say the same thing. If Jesus rules over, if he is sovereign, his sovereignty rules over all, the kingdom of God is here, is now with us, in us, among us. The Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." I mean, you can pray that prayer and claim a whole lot of stuff. You can pray for our government. You can be praying for your schools. You can pray for your job, praying for your marriage, praying for your family. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this deal." I often pray that personally. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." On this earth, this space right here, where I stand, I want the kingdom of God to come. I want your will to be done in me. I want to be the one that does your will. Those blessings, that call to bless the Lord. Every one of those is talking about that. "Bless the Lord, you his angels who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." Kingdom of God. If he is sovereign there, "Bless the Lord, you his hosts who serve him, doing his will." There again, doing his will. That's the kingdom. "All his works in all places of his dominion." That's where the kingdom of God is. Handel's Messiah. I don't know if you noticed the recurring theme. The hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He reigneth. He is Lord. His sovereignty rules over all. It keeps repeating that. "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever." That's the reign of God. That's the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis died on November 22nd, 1963. No one even knew that he died. Do you know why? You know what happened on November 22nd, 1963? Kennedy was assassinated. So the news around the world was the president's assassinated. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, Christian apologist as well, died, and we kind of missed it. He's most famous for writing the Chronicles of Narnia. Have you read that? Read those? Someone to show your hand a little bit? I was in seminary. I didn't even know what they were. Darlene and I actually went to a play where the seminary, the drama team or something, was putting on this The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe thing. I'm like, wow, really? Okay, we'll go watch that. And to this day, Darlene and I still laugh about the lady that played the beaver had real curly red hair and had these buck teeth. She was like doing the beaver thing, you know? So I said, wow, we got to get those. So I got them. I read them to my kids. I read them to myself. But the first book in the Chronicles, I think the Chronicles of Narnia they're like 100 million copies sold, translated into 47 languages. It's kind of a children's theology, but it's a novel, it's fiction, and it's written with the most fantastic, out of this world kind of stuff. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Susan, one of the little girls, the heroines, are going to be introduced to Aslan the lion. Now, Aslan in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe represents Jesus. He is the representative of Christ. And here Mr. Beaver describes Aslan. It says, "He's the king. He's the lord of the whole wood. Aslan is a lion, the great lion." Well, Susan then says, "Ooh, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." Mr. Beaver replied, and this is what I want you to get. Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Jesus is the king of the universe, and his throne sits in the heavens. He rules over all. Is he safe? He's the king. He might not be safe, but he's good, and he loves you. It says he has established his throne in the heavens. I want you to get a grip on the throne of God. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture, some long passages, but there are images of the throne of God, and they really speak to me. And what I want you to get is the reaction of those people who see the throne of God in visions. First one would be Isaiah 6. You're all familiar with that, maybe? Isaiah says, I was in the temple on the Lord's day, the day King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it said, and his train filled the temple. That meant his smoke from his presence was everywhere. And he goes on to say, a seraphim, which would be a kind of an angel, stood above him having six wings. With two they covered his face, two they flew, two they covered their feet. And they called out to one another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at his voice, who called out, while the temple was filling with his smoke. Can you imagine? This is the temple of God. This is the throne of God. His voice speaks and it shakes. And the glory of his presence fills the place. What does Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And I have seen the Lord of glory with my eyes. Woe is me. Have you ever been in the presence of God? Have you been in the presence of the throne of God? Your first image is to get on the floor as low as you can get and say, woe is me. I'm a sinner, and I have seen the glory of God. That's the throne of God. His throne is established in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. The next one is Habakkuk 2:20. In Habakkuk 2, verses 19 and so, he's saying, woe to the person who makes an idol. My friends, don't make an idol. It says you make an idol out of wood or metal, and it doesn't have a voice. It can't speak. It can't see. It can't hear. But then it says in verse 2:20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. I think sometimes the most awesome worship we can give is just to be silent before the presence of God. We don't like silence. It's like, oh yeah, you know, have you ever done that? I've led silent prayers before. Let's all pray in silence for at least 1 minute. And you wait for like 3 hours, and it's like, oh, it's 45 seconds. Like, oh, okay, we're going to get there. I actually have to use a clock. I mean, I can't hold it that long, you know? It's like, oh my goodness, tick, 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 tick. Be silent before him. It says in Revelation, one time at one point they opened a seal there is silence in heaven for 30 minutes. All the praise that goes on, all the worship that goes on all the time, there was silence for 30 minutes in the presence of God. Let all the earth be silent before him. Three more passages, and they all come from Revelation. These are the biggest passages on the throne, Revelation 1, Revelation 4, and Revelation 5. The first one is where John begins his vision. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I was, and he's in exile, you know, and he has this vision of God. And in chapter 1, verse 12, he says, then I turned to see the voice of one who was speaking. It turns out Michael the archangel was speaking to him. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. I want you to vision this, please. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. That's Jesus. Clothed in a robe reaching to his feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze that had been made to glow in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. His right hand, he had the seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Can you get that vision? The Lord speaks And it's like the thunder of many waters. Have you ever been in Niagara Falls? You're like ride the made of the mist right up under the falls, and you can just feel the fall in your chest. I've never been in war, but I understand when the bombs go off, it just like your insides like get blown up, you know, just from the concussion. Jesus speaks, and we get that. His eyes are like shining like lightning, and his mouth a two-edged sword, and white hair. And this is the presence of God. What did John do? Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. I'm believing that some of us need to experience the throne of God in that way a little bit. We need to be so overwhelmed by the presence of God that we fall before him as dead men and women. Revelation 4, this is after he gets called up to heaven, and this is a vision of God the Father, kind of. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. The first voice that I had heard, like the sound of the trumpet speaking to me, said, came up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on these thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. And on the throne comes flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. And there were seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne there were four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first was like a creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third was like a man, the fourth was like an eagle. And the four living creatures, each one had six wings, kind of sounds like Isaiah's theme, full of eyes around and within, day and night they did not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, the one who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, listen, verse 10, what happens? The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before him, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and because of you they exist and were created. You see what happens? When praise goes on, they bow before him and they cast their crowns before him. Worthy are you to receive glory and honor and power. I don't get there enough. Not near enough. I have great times of worship, but I'm not face down enough. You know what I'm saying? In the presence of the throne of God. Jesus tore the veil. When he died, the veil was rent from top to bottom that separated the people from the inner holy of holies of God. And now we're told that we can go boldly into the throne room of God. What an awesome privilege we have as Christians. Finally, the last one I want to mention is Revelation 5. This is a little different picture because they're trying to open the scroll to reveal the vision to John. And it says, no one was found worthy to open the scroll. So they look around heaven for the first 10 verses, and they finally find the Lamb who is worthy. That's Jesus. It says, verse 11, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and elders. The number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard them say, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Verse 14, and the four living creatures kept saying amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped him. Fell down and worshiped him. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. And his sovereignty rules over all. You know, in modern Christianity, I think we stray in two different directions in approaching God. On the one hand, we kind of feel like God is this powerful, vengeful God who is watching us to see where we mess up so he can squish us like a bug. And we're afraid of God. And we go through life, much of our life, living that way. We get a flat tire, like, oh, God is punishing me. I did this wrong. And then we get a cold. Oh, God is punishing me. Or I lose the job. Oh, God is punishing me. And we go through whole life thinking that God has caught us at some sin and he's punishing us. And then on the other side, we get this image of Jesus at Christmas time. Jesus, meek and mild. You know, God is just like this big grandfather figure who loves us no matter what we do. And we mess up and do these terrible things and God just says, oh, they're so cute. You know, we carry God around like in our pocket and we ask him to give us exactly what we want. And oftentimes we go around half the time pitching these little tantrums because God didn't give us what we asked for. You know, I needed that new car and I wanted that makeup set and I wanted that Game Boy and I wanted this and God didn't get it for me. And so then we're going around pouting half the time like little grandchildren. We're going to get into a parenting sermon here. I'm not the perfect parent, but I would say two things. One, speak less, enforce more. Okay? Don't be yakking at your kids all the time. Do this, do this, do that, do that. If you're not going to make them do it, then don't say it. You know? And then you want to punish rebellion, not punish childhood mistakes. That's what I'd say. Just leave it at that. So a lot of times kids will try to do the right thing and they mess up and we punish them because they messed up. But they did it out of a good motive. So you really need to know your children, measure their hearts. But the challenge for Christianity is, where do we live? How do we function? How do we go there? God is not safe. He is God, right? He's got fire in his eyes, a sword in his mouth, and when he speaks, the earth shakes. We ought to shake a little bit. But on the other hand, he is the one who came in Jesus to redeem us. He's not punishing you. He already punished his son for your sins. That's why I like C.S. Lewis's image of the Aslan the lion. Because it captures the awesomeness of God, the powerfulness of God, the fearfulness of God, but also the gentle goodness of God, doesn't it? It's kind of in the middle. Psalm 103 captures that as well. He sets his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. And it says how many times his loving kindness is towards those who fear him. And you can wrestle with that fear him as much as you want. God is awesome and powerful. Yet he is loving and kind and good. He says he's gracious and compassionate. He says his loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. His righteousness to children's children, to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. I mean, God loves us. He is gentle. And that's the picture we get in Psalm 103. We get God high and lifted up on the throne. But we also get him a God who comes to earth and redeems us and loves us. God rules over all. His sovereignty rules over all. What does that mean? It means his sovereignty rules over all and takes dominion over everything seen and unseen in the universe. Now, one of the great things about that is if you'll make him the Lord of your life, have his kingdom come in your life, then he rules over your challenges and circumstances too. Doesn't he? Two verses I want to give you. First, and we know them, these are familiar verses. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation or no trial has happened to you, taken you, that isn't common to man. Other people have it too. But God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted above what you can stand, always makes a way of escape, So if the Lord is the Lord of your life, if the kingdom of God is reigning in your life, God has control of your circumstances. He doesn't let anything come your way that you can't handle, that he won't take care of or make a way out. Second one is Romans 8:28, right? For we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And some of those things can be things that you did yourself. You messed up. You're like your worst enemy. I saw Dave Herko had posted a picture of a guy with, it was a sheriff, looked like a Barney Fife guy, and had his pistol in his pocket and had a hole in his foot. And the doctor said, how's it feel? He goes, it's a shooting pain. Sometimes we shoot ourselves, don't we? We're our own worst enemy, you know? For God causes all things to work together for good. He can even take your mistakes. And he can turn them around to make them good if you'll call upon him. If you'll let him have his way in your life, he will turn it around. And your boss can't do anything to you. Your spouse can't do anything to you. Your kids can't do you're nothing. The presidents, our elected officials, the pandemic, nothing can have power over you. Because God is Lord over our circumstances. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not a great, I don't pass on. If you want to guarantee me not to pass something on, send me something on Facebook or something that says, pass this on if you love Jesus. I'm like, okay, I love Jesus, but I ain't passing on. I'm done. I'm not. But if they're in accordance with God's word, you know, I just love them. There's one, I actually looked it up. I knew it would be there somewhere. I think I found it in Pinterest. It said, here's a morning prayer. Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that you and I together can't handle. Nothing is going to happen to you in life if Jesus is the Lord of your life that you and him can't handle. Amen? That's the promise of God's word. He is Lord of it all. And he's Lord over your challenges and circumstances. The pandemic, the election, the United Methodist Church, your marriage, your children, your job, your health. God has got it all. You and him can defeat it in the name of Jesus. He has charge of your circumstances. If he is the Lord, he forgives our sins, he limits our enemies, and he orchestrates our circumstances perfectly for us. Perfectly for us. Perfectly for us. Yesterday, when we were getting word that, I didn't know we were getting word that Darlene's mom had passed. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do in the morning, and I had something I wanted to do, and my wife suggested I don't do that because I was struggling with a little sore muscle somewhere. And she said, no, you shouldn't do that. You should do this. And so I'm praying about it. Literally, I'm getting dressed like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, I don't really know what to do. Tell me what to do. Have you ever done that? I'm waiting for a word of inspiration, Lord. You show me what to do. And you know what? I didn't really get anything, and I thought, okay, Lord, I'll do what my wife said. I said that. I'll do what my wife said. And so I went and did what she had suggested, and then I got that done, and I was going to do the thing I wanted to do that she said I shouldn't do, and I got it partly done, and the phone rang. And it was Darlene saying, Mom died. Okay, I got it, Lord. I didn't need any instruction. I didn't have time to do this anyway. So I undid the little bit I did do and went and got cleaned up, and we did, you know what you do. We go visiting Grandma at the home. My friends, if you follow the Lord, he leads you. Your circumstances are perfectly suited for you. We often don't like our circumstances. We don't like the people God uses to shape us. We'd rather do it our way, but God has a perfect plan for your life. Is he safe? No, but he's good. He's the king, and he loves you, and he loves you. So what's the conclusion of it all? The God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God who came to us in Jesus to redeem us from our sins. The God who sits on the throne of heaven and rules over the universe is the God who loves you and me. We might not be able to control God. You can't put him in your pocket like a little pocket cross or wear him around your neck And you can't have him do your bidding. But my friends, God is all powerful. He is compassionate and gracious. And we can trust him and depend on him in every circumstances. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. As we pray every Sunday, you know, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. If you make him the Lord of your life, his sovereignty will rule in your heart and you will experience the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God, we often think I've got to make the kingdom, I've got to build the kingdom, I've got to expand the kingdom, I got to do this. Well, if you read the scriptures, Jesus never said that. Jesus said, we will see the kingdom, we will receive the kingdom, we will enter the kingdom. He didn't say we make the kingdom. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But we get to receive the kingdom as we receive Jesus. As we make Jesus the Lord of our life and receive his Holy Spirit, he guides and directs and empowers us each step of the way. The kingdom of God is here among us. The King is here among us. Receive his lordship. Surrender to him today. Let me pray a prayer. You can pray whatever you want to pray, but I hope you'll pray something along the lines of what I'm praying. Shall we pray? Lord, I believe you are the King. You are seated high and lifted up on the throne, and you rule over all. Lord, rule over me. Take me broken, sinful, human, and fill me with your Spirit, and make me the child of God you're calling me to be. Have your way in me, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.